Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hello and welcome to Perfect Person, the show where I'm perfect and you're a person. I'm obviously a new dad, right?
Obviously.
Yeah, so I'm obviously a new dad and I've been just kind of doing stuff around the house, just kind of unfreezing stuff.
Unfreezing stuff?
Yeah, because like people bring meals. They're very sweet. Oh, friends yeah. of ours are yeah, bringing yeah. little meals. Are you on the meal train?
No.
So Will's not bringing me any meals.
You know what? There's already people doing it.
Yeah, there's already people doing it. But you know what I did actually? This is an example, because I have to get the example of my perfect person reference. I went down from two monitors to one.
Wow. Why?
Because I realized that I'm obviously a computer boy.
Yeah,
I'm a gamer first and foremost.
Right.
I'm a dad second. Gamer first, dad second. Sexual being third.
Oh boy.
Lover fourth. And I know what you're thinking. The two are separated for whatever reason, but they are. So anyway, I was at a two monitor setup and I realized that the problem was that I was just using the second monitor as a full distraction. I would be like editing on one monitor and the second monitor's for Twitter or like YouTube or like something I'm just not using. I'm not doing editing on two monitors. And I was like, this is only serving as a distraction to me. Let me eliminate it in the sake of minimalism. People know I'm a Zen minimalist type of guy. I'm always cutting things out of my life that are excess.
Are you?
No, I'm certainly not. And in fact, I hate minimalism and I'm very much a maximalist.
Yeah, same.
But yeah, so I took away the second monitor in the hopes of me being more productive. And guess what? It didn't work.
Of course it didn't work. You're just pulling up a tab.
I'm just alt-tabbing and, and pulling up Twitter anyway.
Of course.
By the very least, it means that I'm not multitasking, which I think is a better way to distract yourself. I'm going to whole hog look at YouTube music videos of like cool artists that are new. Instead of looking at them on a second monitor, I'm now just fully focusing on like a steamy music video from some girl group.
I mean, I just disagree with this choice because I am a big fan of editing with two monitors.
You know me, honey. You know that I went two monitor boy for my whole life.
But you don't use it for Premiere, which you could.
I could, although, I mean, I was even doing one monitor's rectangular. That's the regular first, that's the primary monitor. Second monitor is vertical.
Yeah.
Which I really liked for a while, but then I'm just trying it out. I mean, I didn't sell the monitor. Don't get on my jock, Will. I'm sitting here with Will Whitwer.
What's up?
Freelance sidekick, champion of the people. He's wearing cool shoes today.
Thank you.
They're kind of leathery and no socks.
Yeah, I'm wearing no-show socks. I typically wear long socks and I should have worn some today.
This is like a good look for you though.
Thank you.
You're dressed like a bachelor.
I intentionally dressed up, which is part of the reason I was a little late to this recording. I was like, I need to do something because it's not working at this as currently constructed. Like,
really? Your life?
Well, yeah, I know. I mean, my life is fine.
Yeah.
I wasn't happy with my appearance and you have to do something for me to like actually put it in effort.
Yeah.
But my take is you don't have to dress well all the time, you know, but I wanted to dress up a little bit for this recording because it will live on forever, you know?
Yeah, I get that for you. but I think you look very nice.
Thank you.
I think that your hair looks cute And I think this sweater you're wearing is really nice.
Thank you.
I feel like I look like Old Man River, kind of. My hair is really long and my beard has gotten really long because I just have not had fucking time to do anything. I'm wearing... Oh, no, I do have a hole in my jeans. I forgot about
right. I got a hole too, but I got right stabbed by a plant while I was walking my dog.
And, oh, sometimes the plants in LA are too spiky.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Come on, Governor Cuomo.
I think our most pressing political issue is taking away the spikes from plants, which they probably need.
They probably do. Sometimes they're really sharp. By the way, I'm going to ask you a question. Can you see my underwear if I do this?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
It's a pretty big hole. It's extremely like it is in your crotch. Like it appears to have been caused by perhaps a large. Yeah. Well, that's sort of where I was gonna go. It's in your crotch, and it's like the fabric got worn down over time by having to carry such a large member around it, and so sort of like erosion. You know when like cliff sides. That's basically what your pants are.
Yeah,
like.
I've been reading up on climate change, so the word erosion. Rings true for me. Will, how's it been going, man? We haven't really gotten to hang out.
I know.
I was hanging out with my baby.
Well, of course.
Mm-hmm. And I'm on paternity leave, so I'm not seeing you at work and like coming to bother
which
you.
Which is good for you.
Yeah. How's everything going at work?
It's going fine. I don't think it's interesting to talk about, to be honest.
I haven't talked to Rainey really that much either. I imagine that she hasn't... tanked the stock price of the podcast department.
No, the podcasts are chugging along.
They're chugging out.
What I will say is that, yeah, I don't really have, like, I don't really have any exciting updates.
Yeah.
People continue to find my particular brand of bullshit, like, mildly funny, and I appreciate that. Shout out to all the... Like I posted Rainey took a story of me dressed in a full Try Guys outfit and I got a lot of positive responses from that and I was like, oh, I guess this is why people post. So you get the like people are telling me that they like me and I'm like, oh well great.
That's right.
That's really nice.
And again, we had the big boost on December 1, but then people are tuning in for September 5.
Well, of course September 5 is coming. I mean I it would be remiss of me not to say it.
Yeah, and if you thought that December 1 was big, you're not even fucking ready for what's about to happen on September 5.
Low key though, I was thinking like, what if I actually did make a creative project and actually release it on September 5?
Yeah.
As a way of like pranking the audience of like, oh, you thought this one was gonna be fake too? No, I'm gonna fucking release. Yeah. I don't know.
That sounds like something that like you'd have to get going now.
Oh, absolutely. And we're in February.
There's like, not enough time. There's not enough time.
Well, I can't decide what I should do, you know? Obviously, I'm out to do a Lipa's People. She keeps telling me she's too busy to do a collab. And I'm
what
like,
if you got really good at piano?
Dude, there's no way.
That's just, dude, no. There's no fucking way.
I mean, I would love the idea of playing piano, but I think if I started taking lessons now, I would still suck shit at piano by September 5.
Yeah.
But what if my big post is just like a piano concerto, you know?
Use live singing. Like a song you wrote with accompaniment would be really good. We could shoot a music video for
honestly,
it.
Honestly, that would be really funny.
Home chain. It's like a country song.
I was not expecting country. That really threw me.
That'd be really good. Well, me and Sarah were watching Nashville a little bit.
Oh, yeah. A show I've never watched, but here is really fun.
We watched the first season. It was really fun. And then it was like, I don't know about this. But it was fun because it's just like some of it is good. It's kind of Grey's Anatomy style.
Yeah, it's
some
a prime time soap.
Some of it is really good and some of it's like, oh, what is this? But I kind of love shows like that.
I did want to ask you, by the way, obviously...
I want you to ask me this question. And then you also texted me that you have a really good idea for a funny joke.
Well, so that's what I'm getting to.
Got
here.
It. Yeah, cool.
What I wanted to ask you is, so, you know, obviously the birth of your son, you have an important sort of... This is like obvious second most important moment of your life. The first, of course, winning a Webby.
Winning the Webby was big, yeah.
Like you were listing, you know, other things about, you know, I just think the Webby, you were mentioning you're a sexual being, you know, you're like, I'm not a dad first or whatever.
Yeah.
I really think you were forgetting to mention.
The Webby.
Yeah.
Now,
the most prestigious award.
Let's talk about the Webby. A lot of people are flooding my DMs about my Webby.
Yeah, of course.
They're trying to ask... What's the deal with that? Like, how did you win the Webby? And I think it's just honesty and perseverance, really.
Yeah, and so it's just, like, really nice for you to have, like, number two most important moment in your life.
The child.
You know,
number
seeing
one.
Your child, etc.
Well, winning the Webby defined me as a creator and arguably as a dad.
Right.
Also, I am getting worried. So I won the Webby, right?
Right.
That's, like, step one for everybody.
Yeah.
We all know that, but... I'm getting a little nervous, not super nervous, but just a little nervous that I've missed the applications for 30 under 30 because my birthday. I'll call if I need to, but my 30th birthday is this year. Okay. We're narrowing in September 6th, actually right after your second post. Yeah.
Okay. So
I just want to make sure that my application for 30 under 30 gets seen.
I do think you have to pay
could it possibly be? $10?
No, it's more. Like I think part of the scam of 30 under 30 is that the people who can like be successful and afford to pay for like the thing, it's like self-selecting for a certain type of person.
I mean, I'd pay for it.
I mean, I don't know what it costs.
A G?
How much would you pay to like be considered? God. This is not guaranteed you're on the list.
Not guaranteed I'm going to be on the list?
Yeah. I think that's how it works.
$879.
Okay. So, I mean, honestly, this would be a pretty good bit for the podcast.
If I paid, I mean, I would happily pay to be considered because I think it's a shoe in one. Once they see I own a Webby, it's like.
Right. Well, I am forgetting. People really respect Webbies.
Well, it's easier to win your second Oscar.
That's right.
So similar, Webby, they'll sort of be like, oh, and we'll put him in the big pile. But he gets moved up. But.
Because to me, it's like, obviously, now you're a dad, but you're still a Webby award-winning podcast producer.
The tricky part about the Webby is, so I've been trying to book guests for the show, right? So I've been reaching out cold to a bunch of people. Some people responding, some people not even caring.
Yep.
And I always am wondering, I'd love for these people to know that I have a Webby, but I sort of don't want to mention it because it's cringe to mention that I won a Webby.
Right.
But to say I won an award is good, I guess. But I guess it also does not matter.
Well, funniest thing, again, about the Webby is that it was an audience choice that people voted on based on an existing fandom you didn't cultivate whatsoever. Obviously, I will just say it like, you know, it doesn't, not just anyone can win a Webby. It takes a podcast producer.
Arguably, I barely won.
Well.
Me. The trophy was addressed to you. The trophy was addressed to me and the Try Guys. I clearly won a Webby in theory, but I didn't get like, it wasn't for my own work. But if Perfect Person won a Webby.
Oh, that would be huge for you.
I'll be honest, I'd
you have to pay to submit to those awards too. I think you could actually do that. Like this show would qualify for like some podcast awards. Yeah. Be really funny if you were like just gunning to win any award.
You know, all of this goes to say I'd love an overworked assistant.
Oh yes.
I think that'd be really good. Just a 17-year-old with a Why well, Will?
No, I just, it seems young. You don't want a 22-year-old assistant? Like, why 17? 17 is like, we were not at full brain.
Some young buck. Some kid.
Why not 22, 23?
I guess that's better.
Kid out of college who's always calling into the show looking for advice about what they should do.
Liberal arts major from Connecticut?
Okay,
I'd love it. I'd love that.
In order to get on the map and win another Webby, you're going to have to really commit.
Well, it's 2023.
Right.
So. So the world is my oyster.
That's right.
I want to be better, harder, faster, stronger. And by the way, I've been watching Gary Vee videos like it stopped being a joke, Will.
Well, that's what happens with most things you just say. Like I used to say bro, ironically, and now I just say bro. You know?
I was watching Gary Vee videos as like, oh man, this guy's crazy. And now I'm like, I watched... This is embarrassing, but I watch them like every day.
As like an affirmation thing. Like
I'll be just like when I open YouTube, now they're in my recommended, I'll be like, huh, why should I focus on leadership as a business owner? And I'll watch it and be like, damn, like I should think about like the future of my, and then a capital C company.
Yeah, baby.
Because now I'm like, I wrote down all these things. I was like, what would I like to be involved in over the next couple of years? Like, I want to get merch going this year.
Well, yeah, you have to. And you were talking about doing live shows, too. Yeah. I think doing a live show and taking, like, yeah. I don't know how you, would you anonymize the people? Like, sorry, this is probably an off-air conversation and not something
to record.
Put
it in the premium.
But, like, this is my question. You do a live show. I think it would be so fun. Like, obviously, you could do a tour, but you could literally just do one show in LA to start. And you. Yeah. But would you have people in, like, a booth where we don't see them and we hear their voice distorted? No. It would just be people coming up and being like, I want advice about X.
Well, so I've actually thought about it this way, and I think that there's a cool version to do a live version of the show. And number one is I would start it with a PowerPoint.
About like how to be perfect?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So I would start it with a scripted, and this is also because I want to do, I would like to do colleges. If you, yes. By the way, speaking of live shows, if you want me wow. to do your college,
wow.
email perfectpersonpod@gmail.com. If you are on some sort of social whatever for student unions, email perfectpersonpod@gmail.com because I would happily do it. And I have a great idea for a college show. I would do a PowerPoint thing that's like a scripted bit on how to be perfect. And like, to me, that's like, I'm answering questions that we get a lot. So
questions are like,
what do I do after college? How do I break up with someone? Should I break up with my college boyfriend?
That's what I mean. But if you don't anonymize it, they're going to be fucking.
No, but I do the PowerPoint and then I take people up from the audience.
Got it. So, yeah. I mean, I think it'll be a blast regardless. I think colleges will be sick. I like that. I think it's all great. Big things are happening for you, babe.
Big things are happening in Will. Big things are happening for us. And by the way, big things are happening for the callers. People are calling in the time. That's why we're here. The phone is ringing off of the damn hook. And as always, everybody, if you like the show, you can tell your friends about it. You can rate the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you love the show, you can join us on Patreon, where we have an extended ad-free version of this episode, all the other episodes, as well as exclusive platinum episodes that are only on Patreon. And in the extended version of this episode, Will and I talked for like a really long time about.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what
like
we did.
Like a saga Will went on.
I locked my keys in the car. We talked about Miles being a new dad, I think.
We did talk about me being a new zaddy. And all that and more. So head on over.
You can see Miles' underwear and still.
You can still fuck. I'm going to have to blur it.
No, I don't think you
do. I'm just going to apologize.
No, it doesn't look sexual.
If you can see him.
No, I can't see like an outline of your junk. I just see a hole with where your underwear is.
It's a little disappointing that it doesn't look sexual.
I mean, maybe if I stared longer. I'm just, you know, it doesn't.
Take a peek. Don't be shy.
Take a picture. It'll last longer.
Take a picture. I like to say that to people who are taking a photo.
That's a funny bit.
Take a picture. It'll last longer. To like,
as someone is like,
hey, can you take a picture? It'll last longer. If you want to call into the show, you can follow the Instagram where I post details about when we're recording. Will, let's get to the phone lines.
We have some great calls.
We've got some banger calls today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, Miles. I owe the U.S. government a crazy amount of money, taxes for money I made outside of the country. And so I was wondering if you could give me advice on evading my taxes.
How do you yassify tax evasion, Will?
Well, you know, I don't know that I'm the expert. I have a very simple tax situation. I'm wondering why it's so expensive. Like, did she do independent? Was she an independent contractor in Europe?
I want to know what she did.
Yeah, what did she do?
Did she babysit for the queen? Let's call Will, and let's hope that this doesn't get played in court.
Well,
and again, this isn't financial advice.
No, we're not
supposed
experts.
To say that. That's how it's a loophole. They can't put you in jail after you say it. They can't get you.
Hello.
IRS calling. We heard you have our money.
I cannot believe it.
I heard that you owe a bunch of money to the government. You want to figure out how to freaking put in the Cayman Islands account so you don't have to pay anything.
And yeah, should we be using your real name? Like, what's, you know, should we make up a
don't
name for
you?
Don't
give me your real name. I don't want to be subpoenaed.
Definitely not.
I do not want to be subpoenaed.
Who is with you?
Okay, what, can we call you Kelly?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, so Kelly, tell us what's going on. I'm here with Will Whitwer, Freelance Sidekick.
What up, what up?
Hello, Freelance Sidekick Will Whitwer. Okay, so I recently, and by recently I mean in September, moved from the U.S. to Canada.
Nice.
For school.
Sick. McGill, what are we talking about? Don't tell me. Don't tell me.
No, I'm in Vancouver. There's multiple universities.
The Couve!
Love Vancouver. Vancouver rocks.
Yeah. So I made like half of my money for the whole year in the U.S. and then the other half of my money for the whole year in the last 4 months that I was in Canada.
Got it.
And I still have to pay taxes to the U.S. government on the money that I made in Canada because I didn't live out of the country for long enough.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And do you get taxed at a higher rate for doing work internationally, or like why is this work, why are the taxes so much?
Well, because half of it is also self-employment.
Right.
And so
okay.
It's not.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Okay, I actually do have advice for this, but I want to hear.
Sorry, independent contractor.
Yeah.
I do have advice for this in the craziest way, but
please.
But I actually want to hear what you did for work.
So in the States, I worked for a summer program. So it was literally like 2 weeks of work that I got paid one check for.
And then in Canada, you were gun smuggling.
Yeah.
Really high taxes on that.
Very much illegal. No, I work for a family like in their home.
Okay, cool. All right. So here's what I'll say. I don't know fucking shit about shit, and I'm sure I'm going to be wrong about this.
Correct.
If Uncle Sam is getting into your pocket, then you need to tell him to knock it off. Because
this is bad advice.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm about to tell you a fucking life hack.
Uh-huh.
Slash fucking get rich quick scheme that I've done myself. Start an LLC and file taxes as an S corp.
Yeah.
Hello? I hear breathing. Is it the IRS on the other end?
Yeah, we're bugged. We're bugged for
sure. We're bugged. We've been made. So I don't know shit about shit, but I have known that like when you are just like a human being, taxes are so fucking complicated. And if my accountant's listening to this, thanks, baby. But ultimately, like the real issue is that if you're an independent contractor, this is how the rich stay rich, is that they create corporations that exist outside of themselves. And that way the corporation is writing off certain things that are like essentially they have to pay less in taxes because they're just looking at the amount of income that that company made minus their expenses. And then they pay taxes on the final resulted amount.
Mm-hmm. So you got to play their game.
So you got to play their game because America thinks that corporations are better than people. And that's the real problem with Uncle Sam's little family business. Now, what I've done with my corporation is I'm writing off everything. No, I'm not actually. Accountants in the chat, sound off. But if you buy something, let's say you're taxed at a rate of 25%. Uh-oh, people are snoozing. But you're about to save that money because Uncle Sam's about to put his own in his mouth.
You're saying Uncle Sam is going to to completion?
Yeah. Well, I'm saying that Uncle Sam's about to get his just desserts and you're about to get yours too. What I actually do for my business stuff is every time I have income come in, I have a business checking account and a business savings account. Every time I have income go into the business bank account, which you can use this with your own checking and savings. It doesn't actually have to be a business thing. I calculate what 25% of it is and I put it in the other account, in the savings account. So I know that whatever the amount that I'm looking at is always going to be the actual amount of money in my account. Because that's the tough thing with self-employment is when you get $1,000, it's not $1,000.
Right.
You have to make sure that you're immediately in your mind. It's way easier for me visually. So this is actually the advice I would give you is that every time you get paid next time going forward for something like this, take 25% yes. out and put it into your savings account and just know that like the amount that after that you're looking at is actually the amount of money you have.
Okay. And I'm sure that the listeners are just going to be so thrilled with this really deep tax
People
conversation.
People are loving this tax talk, Will.
But it's going to be the best episode of the season.
Yassify your taxes. Taxes are complicated on purpose because the fucking bourgeoisie wants to keep the man down.
Because they want to get you. They want to audit you and make you pay more.
Oh, here's a fucking tax hack. Straight up, you don't have to wait. Okay, so this actually did save me because I was like, I don't think I got my W-2s or 1099s from like some places 1 year. The IRS knows how much money you make and owe. They're asking you to calculate it, but you can look it up online if you go to the IRS's website. So that's another thing that's like annoying is that the IRS is like, oh, hey, sucker. Kiss my ass and tell me how much money you think you owe me. And if you're wrong, then you have to pay more because you were wrong. But the IRS knows how much money you owe. Maybe next time, just try to pay your taxes in vibes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like your tax.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Make the IRS job hard.
Vibe out on your fucking tax stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like Will's talking all this boring chatter, chipper chatter. And I'm just over here saying like, let's just have a fucking, like, some Zaza and do our W-9s.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Will's like, yeah, sure. Like, you know. So anyway, thanks for calling. Thanks for calling. And we hope you have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Bye. Okay. Oh, man, Will.
I mean, it's really funny. That in our society today, having a platform means you can be like, here's how you should do your taxes.
I shouldn't say. Don't. By the way, people, somebody online with like, he left a comment. They were like, people really trust like what you have to say. And they like, you really should like say smarter shit. And I just
have they heard the show?
I just fundamentally disagree with that concept.
Yeah, well, I think nobody is looking. People admire you and your life because you're good at describing it, and you're clearly like a fun person. I think people like not only want to be friends, but they do genuinely think like you've got some sort of secret sauce. The truth is, I mean, obviously,
I do have some secret sauce.
You have some.
I've got some. I think that it's also just that I am so willing to be wrong.
Yeah, and you'll just dive in.
And I'll dive in. I'm not afraid of cancel calls.
No, that's obviously not true.
I'm terrified that I'm going to be canceled.
You cut me saying stuff that I thought was totally innocent and fine out of episodes.
I'm terrified that I'm going to say the wrong thing. But I also don't have, like, sometimes I think people, I've seen comments on the episodes where people are diving in against something I said because I think that they're expecting that I think what I said is holy. Like they're like fighting back against something I said as if I'm going to be defensive. And I think that 99% of the time I'm like, oh, that's a great point. Like I am just shooting from the hip completely like saying whatever. And I'm wrong often.
Yeah, I think that's actually one of the things I like about you is that's that nice. You're like willing. You're just like, if you're wrong, you're not like, you don't really get super defensive about it.
Actually, me and John were just talking about this, but I think that, yeah, there's a tendency in our culture to, here's what it is. Every single person on this planet is a hypocrite.
Yeah.
And that is like fine. But here's the problem that I see a lot of people when they're arguing about stuff. This has nothing to do with the tax fraud question. This is like, I'm on something else right now. But like, okay, so everybody is a hypocrite. Know that shit. And then when you're talking to your friends or you're getting into an argument online, know that like, this isn't fucking debate club where we have to even out the ones and zeros of your opinions. You can like shit that you probably shouldn't and hate stuff that you probably should love.
Yep.
You can have like I think that sometimes people are like, oh, well you care about like this. Well, why don't you also care about this? And it's like, because we aren't fucking robots.
Yeah.
This isn't an AI chatbot that needs to have like the equal opinion unilaterally.
Yes. I think that, I think that it's just, it's a tough time online because there is sort of, people are trying to, there's just not a lot of room for nuance online.
Yeah, don't be precious about shit. And if you're wrong,
then admit it. I completely agree with that.
That's like being wrong. And also, like, you know what it is? If you're wrong, that's like good and change is good. But then protect yourself even further. Be gracious when you're stating an opinion. Like, if don't ever, I try never to, it's something really fucking crazy. I try never to be like, oh yeah, like I believe this, and everyone who doesn't believe this shit is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, I'll say that shit about like human rights violations.
Sure,
but
sure,
other
sure.
than that, I'm trying not to do that, because it's like, oh yeah, like, no, that's a great point. Like, somebody will say something and it'll just change my mind completely. You should just be gracious about like, everyone's really dumb. And like, I know that because I'm really dumb. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know anything. I'm just trying to figure it out and trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, I don't. I had a thing I was gonna say, and then I fucking lost.
It was gonna be so good too.
It was gonna be so.
It was gonna be
good.
Really smart and funny.
Oh, you know when I whip out one of my
Will's on one. Oh man, he is just cracking up so good. Like when you go on one so good like that, we're all cracking up.
You're saying a nice thing, but somehow it sounds mean.
When Will really goes in on like being funny, like we all are cracking up and we're saying like, you're so funny for
that's
that.
Right. And that's all I really want, to be honest. No, fundamentally, like,
can you get this one?
Yeah, I can get
it. The fight has been it become a problem. I need to get a beach ball.
Yeah, you do.
I hide right here.
That's a good idea.
Throw. So that way, when a huge funny guest is on the show, they'll be really ridiculous.
Something I think about a lot is that, like, a lot of famous people really clearly want to be liked. Like, LeBron wants people to like him. Elon Musk wants people to like him really desperately. Like, I relate to those people in that way. Like,
sure,
I'm like,
I want to be liked.
I want to be liked really bad.
Although I don't need to be liked by everybody. And there's a lot of people that I'm like, oh, if you dislike me, that's like fine. Like, I don't.
Yes.
Fundamentally, like, you understand you.
I just like, I relate to the celebrities who make themselves look pathetic for how much approval they just like seek at all times. I'm like, I get it.
Yeah, it's funny.
I want people to tell me I'm great all the time.
Or like people, yeah, like celebrities in an interview will be like, oh man, yeah, like, yeah, Burger King is so great. Like, they'll just have the most milquetoast opinions of that shit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Just like the least, like, we're getting everyone's media trained to the point where they don't say anything interesting. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Such a lovely night. Such a lovely night. Like, it's just like, it's like, this is nothing. What you're saying is nothing.
Yeah.
Which
but I
is
guess
fine.
That's this show too, you know?
You don't think I'm edgy enough?
I mean, I would not describe you as edgy.
I'll say edgy stuff like, I'll say like,
Miles, you're like the least edgy.
Fuck you. You do think I'm not that edgy?
I think you're great. I do not think you're edgy.
Man.
I think if that's part of your self-image, you need to look in the mirror.
I don't think I'm edgy.
Like, if you actually thought that, I would have to be
sort of an edgy kind of comic. I'm always saying shit off the fucking dome.
You're always
like,
brushing up against hot button issues.
I'm always cutting the crap.
Uh-huh.
You know, and saying what I really feel about stuff. I think that bathtubs are good. Yeah, that's a good point. I think it's because of that, like, what the reason I'm not edgy is because I don't have any opinions that I'm that confident about.
Well, I also think there's always it really bugs me when people try to position their opinions in the realm of discourse to be interesting, as opposed to like going with what they genuinely feel. And I'm not saying we all haven't done that sometimes, but it really, really, there are some people who do it. Who I just can't stand it.
Name names.
Well, there's one of them is a former friend of mine. Big shout out.
It's protected me from tweeting a lot, where like, I'll think about an opinion. I'll be like, I'll have some tweet idea and it's like some hot take. And then I'll be like, do I actually think this?
No, I
don't. I'm not going to tweet it.
Oh, I will say that is one thing I really recommend. If you're on Twitter and if you're writing a tweet, maybe think about,
do I think this, or like, is it just like,
is
I'm trying to,
is this a worthwhile thought to share?
Like, I'm trying to bait people.
Yeah, no.
In some weird way.
My Twitter strategy is get really stoned, and every couple of weeks you tweet like the stupidest thing you can possibly
think. You have a great Twitter
Thank
presence.
You.
I think you got a great. There was a funny thing where before It honestly probably protected me from a lot of tweets. But before we had talked about having the baby, like, you know, obviously I was on paternity leave. So there's a couple of weeks where I was just like, I'm not posting anything. Like, I didn't post a picture because I was like, let's just like fucking chill for a second.
Like, actually live in the moment.
Live my life. And then eventually we did. But I was like, there was times in that where I was like, I had some really dumb thoughts that I was like, oh, that's a good tweet. And I was like, well, I haven't. Said I haven't told the world I have a son, so I'm not allowed
to post it.
I can't like fire off some stupid bullshit.
Well, you know, to be fair, you definitely would have gotten a lot of people replying like, where's the baby?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I was just like, yeah, it's probably better I just like don't say anything for a little bit.
Yeah, no, 100%. Anyway, you want to do another call?
Let's do another call, Will. I feel so fucking crazy because I'm so tired.
Yeah, you're probably in a...
I'm in a deep hole.
I honestly feel more lucid than I have in a long time.
You feel sober, straight, lucid.
Yeah, like, I feel like this is kind of a reversal of the dynamic where, like, I'm the crazy one. And then now I'm like, man, I'm so fucking calm. I've never been anxious in my life. Everyone loves and respects me. You know what I mean?
This week on Perfect Person, the dynamic gets switched.
I miss old-timey trailers like that. I miss, like, the narrator doing more in movie trailers, you know?
Yeah, no idea.
What they
like
hadn't
that.
Bargained on, you know,
was true. Friendship.
Hi, Miles. I know you're probably already done recording the episode, but nope. I just wanted to call in because I am at my wit's end. I sit on the executive board of my sorority, and it is not going as I hoped, and I just don't even know what to do anymore.
All right, let's give her a call.
Hello?
You called Perfect Person, and we're here to call you back about your sorority.
What up, what
up? Oh, my God. No way.
I'm here with Will Whitwer. Hey.
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
tell us what your problem is.
Basically, for the last, like, year and a half, our sorority has just, like, not been getting along. And we thought it would get solved with our new executive board, right?
Yeah.
Because we got rid of the two people that were, like, the issue. No, it got worse.
Oh, no.
Because now they're upset. Because they don't have power.
Yeah. So there's two people causing all the problems, or they're different factions?
Yeah.
No, it's two people. So for context, I go to a really small school. My sorority is a very, like, it's like less than 50 people.
Okay, got it.
It's a very small group of people to begin with.
Yeah, if you're not on Alabama Rush TikTok. I've seen. My TikTok feed is all Alabama Rush. Bama Rush. So,
I love it, but it looks terrifying.
It does look really scary.
Yeah, so, I've seen some scary videos from sororities, from the big ones.
Really
yeah.
scary. So, okay, so tell us, first of all, so you're in the executive board. First of all, I love goss. I love drama. And I love, like, group dynamics like this. I mean, sororities are essentially social clubs.
They are.
And there is drama to be had. So you're on the executive board. How many other of the key players are on this executive board?
There's 8 of us total.
Got it. Okay, cool. And what was, like, an event that's kind of specific where there was drama that occurred?
Yeah, and you said that the two people who are causing the problems got kicked off and then they're pissed now?
Yeah, they're pissed.
Like, yeah, I'm just curious. What's the trouble?
Yeah, no. So essentially, they weren't necessarily, like, kicked off. Essentially, they got voted out. So, like, we had our next election. So they served for 2 semesters. We had our next election, and they didn't get re-voted back on.
Got it. So they were ousted.
Yeah, and they were just, like, really mean the entire time that they were on it. They, like, a lot of our other members were, like, threatening disaffiliation, and we're just, like, they were just really mean.
So,
like, I don't know how to describe it. It would just be like, they talk about it. I'm like, it's a small campus. So, like, if you talk, everyone knows.
Yep.
So they were one-term chumps. They were only in for one term, and then they got they didn't get voted back in. And so what are these what are these girls' names? Or do you want us to make
big
names? We
use fake ones.
I have to say, I need to stay completely anonymous with it.
Okay, got it. So Brandy and Carlisle. Brandy and Carlisle. Now, what is an ex- so you said they were being mean. Now, would they just sort of make you feel small, or are they insulting you directly?
Kind of like a mixture, and it wasn't to, like, just me. It was to a lot of people.
Got it.
So is it more like they're making catty comments, like just saying sort of things to
rude.
Take people down that then those people hear about and get mad about and are like, fuck you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So like,
pretty much sums it up. And they think they're like in the right too. Like they don't understand why everyone's upset.
Got it.
So they don't have self-awareness. Are they well-liked in general, like at the school or like,
I don't think so.
Got it.
Not
so,
anymore.
Got it. Okay.
So essentially, like you go, because I went to a tiny college and I do know how it goes where people gossip, people know every detail about each other. It's just like really tight communities. This is just kind of how it goes, I think. And it's not very smart to, in an era, especially with social media, if you're going to talk shit, you probably shouldn't do it.
If you're going to talk shit, prepare to be stepped to.
Wow.
So here's the thing that I'm going to say. What is the drama they're starting now? Because you said they're not even on the board anymore, but now they're in a counterterrorism cell.
Correct.
Within the organization.
They just have like a lot of input and they don't always word it necessarily very politely. So like people on the exec board are just like really uncomfortable doing anything because they're like, I don't want to get talked about so aggressively. Or get a message saying I'm doing my whole job wrong.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you didn't plan this party right. And when I was on there, we used to do it better. And everyone's like, fuck you, stop it.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Do you have email correspondence of them saying publicly or on a group thread? And do you have an example of this, like where you guys planned something or there was an announcement and they responded to it or no?
Yeah, I can think of something. So I just planned, I made a shirt for an event coming up. And they were, this sounds so stupid saying it out loud.
No. You are valid, by the way. I want to know.
I was like so banking on you not calling back.
No, this is real.
I was like, they're never going to answer.
No, this is real and this is important. Social dynamics are very important in college, especially. And this is like when people like this, it can feel, I think it also is a relatable problem. Where you're like,
I think it's very relatable.
You're like, there are these people who are just, they have this bad energy and no one really knows how to deal with them because we don't want to have a big confrontation. But it's like, how do we get to the seed of what's going on? So tell me about the shirt you designed.
Yeah, so I designed a shirt. I thought it was really cute. And I got a lot of compliments from it, from like everyone else.
Yeah.
But, and again, this is going to be so stupid. The color of the shirt, they were upset at the color of the shirt because they felt like a different sorority on campus owned that color and we like shouldn't wear that color.
What? Weird.
So they thought you guys were like, you're using a color that is like against, it's like not in the color palette of Delta Gamma or whatever.
Yeah. DG.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they're just like, that's blank sorority's color. Like that's not our color to wear. And I was like, I was just kind of like, well, this is just a stupid conversation. Like,
yeah, that's
it's a shirt.
It's a shirt. You don't own a color.
It's a shirt. And yeah. And I let the chapter vote on the colors and it was the color they picked.
Oh, wow.
Like 60% of the chapter picked this color. So it wasn't like I individually picked it. I actually wanted a different color completely. But that wasn't the one that got picked.
This is like
it's a minefield.
This is a minefield here. Yeah. So,
oh my God. Yeah. You guys, it's sororities are so intense. And don't get me wrong. I love it. But it is just like so intense. And really, I just wanted to know, like, how do you handle just like, not being able to like please everyone and just like dealing with this.
Yeah. How do you deal with a political scandal of this magnitude? Now, sometimes in a political scandal, you've got to play politics.
Yes, you do.
And I say this knowing that like the best way to play politics is to lead with compassion. In this situation, you're trying to be a good leader. You're like, look, the people voted on the shirt color. And by the way, what was the color?
Yeah. What color was it?
It was pink.
You are okay.
It's a pink shirt.
First of all, a sorority having a pink shirt is bread and butter.
Yeah.
That is over the plate. Like, we're having this. Like, I think that 90% of the sorority shirts at UNC were pink because, like, sure, it's a sorority. Sure, we can have a pink shirt. No one needs to have an issue with this.
Did you know that the gendered branding of pink is a relatively new phenomenon?
Yeah, within the last 30 years or
something. Post-World War II, pink and blue.
That's
anyway,
right, pink and
companies
blue.
Companies realize they would make more money if they made baby clothes, not unisex, because then you have to buy multiple sets.
That's interesting,
anyway,
actually.
Shout out to capitalism.
Oh, so that's really interesting.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Shout out to capitalism. But anyway, Brandy and Carlisle are an inside of government. They're like freaking... I was going to say CTULA. are your CTULA from 24 and they're like terrorists within your organization. Okay. They're trying to take you down from within.
They are.
And what I need to say to you is you need to mobilize the organization, because Brandy and Carlisle, they're out there on a street team telling people, oh, that shirt is so lame. And I think what you need to do is you need to, first of all, let people know, like, hey, I don't know. Like, make, when people are trying to play politics, make it feel like it doesn't matter that much to you that they're disapproving of what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, that's the I think the kind of the power move here is to be like, yeah, they send you an email. Maybe they don't reply all, or maybe they do.
Yeah.
You just say, well, this is what we voted for.
Yeah. Hey, sorry, everybody voted, but like, we're definitely down to hear your ideas,
like,
next time.
Yeah. You like, there's the, like, it's the thing that, you know, you like, people just want to be heard sometimes.
Yeah.
So sometimes if you just kind of acknowledge that they said something, but don't change what you're doing,
yeah,
it won't satisfy them.
Right.
It might even piss them off. But if you can act like, well, your objection, which you said maybe a little meanly, I'm just going to say I don't care about, because we did it for the good reason that we did.
And also, here's what you can do too. Nobody likes to do work.
No, they don't.
And so what I think you could do is send them an email. Hey, Brandy and Carlisle, we know that you guys had some ideas about the shirts. Could you send us a couple color palettes? I'm just curious for next time we decide to design something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. If what you want to really make them feel like they got heard.
That's a good response. Yeah,
what your ideas might be. Because look, here's the thing. It costs you nothing to ask and even receive. You don't have to do anything that they said.
No, you don't.
You just be like, I'm just curious what you guys had in mind.
Bam.
Because I'm so thoughtful. And immediately the sorority is standing up, standing O, yes, cheering for,
yes,
you. Because
exactly,
they're saying, yes, look at this leadership. Everyone is being heard, okay? You're not going to let the terrorists win.
You can win. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good idea. I'm thinking of like the best way to respond.
Yeah. I think that it's like,
well, I also say, like, you never really know what people are going through in college. Like, your brains aren't fully developed.
Yeah.
And I think there are people who get more mature as they get older and become more able to live in groups, and people are like developing and finalizing skills that they don't necessarily have, you know?
Yeah.
So like, sometimes people are just being, they're saying harsh things because, yeah, they're not feeling included. But actually, if they were included in the right way, they'd be like way chiller or whatever, you,
yeah,
know?
Yeah, right.
It's hard to know. You just want to, like, you don't know if somebody's going through, like, you know, their mom is sick or whatever, unless they're like talking about it. Like, you just,
yeah,
don't know what people are actually going through. And I just look back at some of the people I thought were weird in college and I go like, oh, you just didn't have the maturity level to like address things in the right way. You,
yeah,
know?
Yeah, definitely.
And it's not necessarily means that you're evil. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that about them too. Brandon Carlisle obviously are taking over the sorority and they're dominating it. They're attempting to exert their political power, but they're no longer on the damn board.
They're attempting a sorority executive board coup.
A hostile takeover.
A hostile takeover of the shirt design,
yes,
for March of this year.
And like, the thing is, like, if you let the complaint, if the complaints bother you, like, you, I just think the best way to address it is like, make them feel like they're being heard,
yeah,
that their ideas matter, even if you're literally never gonna look at them.
Be prepared for an insurrection level sorority event where they storm the executive board room and they demand that the shirts are yellow or even teal. But the point is that I think that you should just ask them what their opinions are and stuff, even if you don't care. Because it's like, oh, hey, like, I know you, like, what were, yes, your thoughts on this? Like, if you had another idea, I'd love to hear it. And also just be nice to them, because ultimately, like, it's hard to talk shit about someone that is being genuinely kind and empathetic.
Absolutely. And if they keep talking shit about, like, members of the sorority, like, first of all, everyone gossips a little bit. Everyone talks a little bit of shit. It's, like, not the end of the world. But,
yeah,
they seem like they were crossing a line in a, yeah, small college campus where this is, like, really not. So, like, they cross a line, you may have to confront them, like,
yeah,
and just say, hey, what you said was hurtful. But if they're just sort of saying somewhat catty things that aren't that mean,
yeah,
maybe everybody just has to, mm-hmm, kind of be like, well, this is what it is. And if somebody says it, try to be more like, hey, that hurts my feelings, you know?
Talk shit, get hit,
yeah,
with an empathetic and understanding nod.
I feel like that's the polka.
I like that quote.
Okay.
That's good. Now,
be,
I do have like one I do have like one small request, and this is just me being paranoid because I don't want to get set to standards.
You want me to bleep your
name? You bleep my name.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We do not want you to go in front of the standards committee.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
Yeah, wait. Just in case someone happens to listen and they're like, I can connect those dots.
We need you to remain anonymous because you are also our mouthpiece from the inside of the sorority. So if me and Will are thinking, what if we do blue ribbons? We're going to be able to use you. We're going to call in a favor to get blue ribbons at the freaking welcome students brunch.
Hey, if you ever want to throw another mixer, I can give you some ideas if you want to throw parties. I have some good mixer ideas.
I love this. I love to hear that.
But I do think if they ever say something mean that comes back to someone, like, they should maybe be confronted about it.
If they say mean shit, go up to them and be like, hey, this hurt my feelings. I don't know why you said that.
Yeah, I heard
people really do not like it.
They can't handle it.
They can't handle it. Because what they can handle is you saying shit back to them that's hurtful. And people are prepared for that, but they're not prepared for you to be like, why did you say that? You know what I mean? They're not prepared to be just confronted with something that they did say.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's our advice for how to get through a political scandal.
But yeah, you're in the position of power. You just need to make them feel like you're still part of the team, even if their ideas are not being executed on.
Validate dumb people in order to get what you want.
That's right.
Now, thank you so much for calling in. We will bleep your name.
We will.
So you'll remain anonymous. But get out there and do some canvassing. So this underground street.
Thank you
street
so
team.
Much. And Miles, your baby is so cute.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Your baby
I think
is
so
just
too.
Adorable.
Yeah, he's a cute little goblin for sure. You have a fantastic evening.
You too.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, that was a great call. I mean,
I love it. Great call.
I just, it's very relatable to me because for some reason, the stakes seem so high when you're in college about like the shit. Like,
You're like, it's something she's probably thinking about it like, oh my God. Like, and all her friends are like talking about like, wow, they really have such a bad attitude. Like, what is up with that?
For real.
And it gets blown up and it gets bigger and bigger. And ultimately, it's just like, oh yeah, just ask them what colors they want the shirt to be.
And make it feel like their ideas
are hurt.
Because
they might have some good ideas.
Right. And that's the other thing. Like,
but knowing Brandy and Carlisle, probably not.
Well, they don't seem.
Do you think that they're gonna have good shirt color ideas?
I will say, I wonder if they are like each other's only friend. You know, they're the sometimes personalities in a group where like they're kind of abrasive and they're together.
And it's like, ugh. By the way, if their shirt ideas were good, they would have been elected.
That's right. The constituents voted.
People voted and they voted them out.
That's right.
Okay.
They were voted out of their t-shirt idea and they were voted off the executive board.
Yeah.
And there's probably a reason for that.
Well, Will, that brings us to our final segment.
Yeah.
A segment that we like to call Get Real.
I mean, I just feel like I want to give you a softball to, you know, talk about your child or whatever. You've already done that, though.
Yeah, I'm over him. He's a fucking perfect little angel. I think that, what am I getting real about these days?
Well, I feel like you're probably spending so much time, like, just trying to get through the day, get to the next day. Like, it's hard to freak out about the future when you're just like, okay, how am I going to do this week, you know?
Yeah, I think that, like, the things I'm thinking about the most now are just, like, I'm like, I blink and it's dark out again.
Yep.
I'm like, holy shit, what happened? It's, like, evening again. And it does give me immense empathy. I feel like we've talked about this before, but like when people have kids, sometimes you'll notice that obviously there's a transformation, but I totally get how it makes everybody more empathetic because it's like, holy shit, everything is so hard to just get through.
Yep.
So I just have an appreciation for when like it's small stuff. It's just like, oh wow, just the amount of sheer time and energy expended to like keep a human life alive at a very young age. It's like somebody had to do that for every single person on the planet. So that part is really wild. Like, I think that when I meet somebody, even if you dislike them or whatever, it's like, oh, like one person or two people or three people or more had to really work hard to keep every person alive.
I know, and that's why it sucks that there's so many shitty people.
It really does, because it's like, wow, like all that effort wasted on some idiot.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's always possible to, no matter how good of a job as a parent, you could still have a bad seed. You know what I mean? I don't think Julian's a bad seed, but he could be. We don't know.
He's a really good seed.
No, I'm kidding. I think he's going to be great, but
I mean, who knows? No, he's going to be really good because I find that actually the recipe for like a good person is kind of just like you just have to like care a little bit.
Yeah, and I agree, and I think that to your point, like it just reminds me of the David Foster Wallace famous speech at Kenyon College about like the example of like going to the grocery store and being in like a really long line and just getting so mad at the person in front of you, but then like trying to teach yourself that they just like might be having a really bad day.
This is water is what the name of that speech is. And Sarah and I have I love that speech. And Sarah and I have a framed picture of my friend Pam made for us that's a fish and it says, "This is water."
That's great.
That she drew. But it's like, you know, I think about that all the time. Or what he says is like, you're in line for the grocery store, right? And every person is like an extra to you, but
you need to like embody them with some of your lived experience, and that you like you empathize and you give them compassion, so you're not just hating this stranger in front of you who's making your life your errand difficult. Take longer.
And he's like, yeah, the person in front of you might be a parent who's like late on their whatever, and the person behind you might have like a parent in the hospital or something, and like. Yeah, but it does. It sort of does give you vast empathy, and it does. It is annoying that a lot of people are just so stupid.
I don't necessarily think that parenthood makes everyone empathetic, though. I think that for some people, it's like a tribal thing where they're like, "I love my family, but I refuse to love anyone else."
No, I'm primed to be empathetic to the people, but no, I think you're right.
I think if you're already empathetic, maybe it does. But I feel like if you're like a shitty person who has kids, it doesn't necessarily make you better.
I also just like I can't imagine going through this experience and then like feeling so confident that I did it right that I told other people that like this is how you should do it.
You mean like becoming like a parenting advice person? Like
well, I'm treading on thin ice here.
Well, that's what I mean, because obviously you're perfect, of course. Yada yada yada.
I'm like, this is really hard, and like and more than it just being really hard, it's like who fucking know, like. We tried something and like he didn't cry for a little bit, but it's just like, I don't know. Like we're just kind of shooting from the hip, and I'm like, any person that's alive, like do whatever you can to get your baby.
But the flip side though is that you think of how many idiots have raised children too. And it's like maybe on that level, like no one's ready at the moment. There's a lot of trial and error there, but like nobody actually knows. Yeah. And that's because you're full of a lot of worry, but like, as long as you're doing the basics, it's probably going to be okay. You know what I mean?
I think it's also, exactly. And I think it's, to me, also something I think about all the time. Me and Sarah remind each other of is like, this is an investment in it being like super duper fun.
When he's
like a little guy that's talking and can be really like run around and we can make jokes to.
100%.
But right now he's like a little goblin that really needs us.
But
in
I
every
think
single
that
way.
Creates new worries too. You know,
of course
like,
it does.
Like
but to me,
you're
just
worried about like, are his friends good? You know what I mean? Like,
but at that point it's just like, he's like a little guy. Yeah. Like, you know, yes, new worries will come, but it's like, to me, it's what we're doing now is an investment.
Oh yeah. Well, when you don't have to worry as much about day to day like survival.
Yeah.
I think it will be at least some weight off. You know.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Because you have to do everything right now. You know.
Yeah. Right.
And humans have the like longest like maturation process of like any species, basically. Like.
Yeah.
You know, most animals are born ready to freaking. Horses pop out of there ready to walk.
It's
you know?
The trade-off we make for being bipedal.
That's right. And big brains, too.
And huge brains.
One of the theories that I've read is like, that like consciousness might have developed in a way that like, you know, we evolved to have a longer gestation, like longer childhood, essentially.
Right.
Because most animals are not children very long. They're not. And they're more or less, they could sort of function when they come right out of there.
Yeah, the trade-off we make for being sort of useless for the first couple of years is that we can invent the blockchain.
Oh my God. The best invention, oh, you know.
Is that human beings
Well, the culmination of human evolution is arguably the blockchain.
We're so smart that we can make the freaking NFT.
Empty factories full of GPUs just fucking mining Bitcoin or whatever. Like, that's what we're doing.
That's smartness to me.
Yeah.
That's smartness to me.
Man. We go through a stage of innocence where you learn, you're curious, and then you come out of it able to invent the blockchain.
Able to invent the blockchain and sell a Bored Ape.
Or Donald Trump, like, wearing a superhero
Donald Trump costume. Selling his own NFTs.
Yeah. Everything about it, human evolution has led us singularly to the creation of the blockchain, a technology that for sure should exist, that definitely does good things. You know, it's not just a technology in search of a use.
Can I say something? That I tweeted this the other day, but I used ChatGPT, and I was like, what the fuck are people talking about? Why are they so impressed by this?
It's stupid.
I was like, this is really dumb. Like,
yes. Oh,
not
yeah.
that it's dumb. Like, I understand that it's an amazing piece of technology, and I'm sure that they'll use it to do something cool. But I was like, I'm being like, is it good to do whatever? And it's like, I'm an AI. I can't have feelings or opinions. And I'm like, you dumb fucking robot. I want you to tell me stuff. I want you to be like Megan from the movie Megan. Yeah, it's all so stupid. It's like, we have all of the capability in the world to bring everyone closer together. And we're like, doing this
100%. Well, and I think hopefully for you, the experience of having a child is like, you know, opening you up to how you want to live and reprioritizing away from the stupid shit that, like, yeah. I just feel like everybody feels like, oh, I waste too much time on social media. Like, I don't know, social media is intentionally like a rat experiment where the yeah. lever only works sometimes. Like, sometimes you get a ton of dopamine from it.
Yeah,
most of the time it's just fine.
Most of the time it's like, well, yeah, I did this, and I should have probably just like read an article.
Yeah, I should have like gone for a walk. You know?
I think that's even better, because now it's like, even articles, sometimes I'll read and I'm like, this made me dumber. Like, this is like some hot take that was unnecessary.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Like, a hot take that it was only made so that like I would click on the article, and yep. I did, and I feel like a chump.
No, I feel like social media is a reinvention of the human experience in a way, and it mostly sucks. And yeah. I would just hope that having a child for you is like the ability to, okay, well, I know what's really important at mm-hmm. this moment, and yeah. I'm not going to worry about like my tweet underperforming or something. You know
no,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you were just talking about how you were not tweeting until people knew that you had a kid. I think that was good. Like,
I think the Twitter thing, I'm like, I'd like to make more stuff for the internet.
Yeah.
But I think I'd like to consume way less.
That's the thing. I mean, ultimately, that's much more rewarding to do the creative part of it. Being a perpetual lurker on Twitter, which is what I do with my life, is not a good use of time.
I'm still absolutely. Not convinced he's not me from the future back to kill me.
Me?
No, my child.
Oh, your child.
Anyway, everybody, thanks so much for listening. At W Whitworth, where you can find Will and
his
zany tweets.
September 5, big post coming.
September
obviously.
Post, huge, massive post. Obviously, I'm at Miles Bond on every platform. You can follow me there for sort of stuff, fun stuff coming down the pipe.
I feel like the you might have to make the premium one kind of long in this one.
Yeah, I think so.
So, hey, subscribe to the premium.
Subscribe to the premium, because this episode is going to be really long.
I haven't seen you in a while. So we also
just
got
wanted
to chat.
Catch up. I know. But we'll put in the premium. And everybody out there, you remember, life's meaningless. Find your own meaning.
Inherently meaningless.
Inherently meaningless.
What I mean is, like, it's just not built in. You don't get born knowing what your purpose is.
Yeah.
You know?
Life's meaningless, in parentheses, said hornily.
What about life's meaningless? Get horny. That's like biological purpose.
Thanks
right?
for listening, everybody.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.